In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. We're going to begin today to treat of all the special feast days. The section in the lectionary is called Solemnities and Feasts of the Lord and the Saints. Now, they're going to go chronologically. The very first feast is February 2nd. That is the Feast of the Presentation or Purification. It has different names, as you know already, and will become apparent in the readings. But before I do that, I'm going to be using the first section of these to talk about liturgy and mystery. I think it will help our preaching, because what we're supposed to be doing, especially on these feast days, is expounding the mystery. So I want to talk first today from the Catechism, what is a mystery? From after this point, I'll be working with the text. But anyway, this is now the Catechism, starting with number 1066. In the symbol of the faith, the Church confesses the mystery of the Holy Trinity and of the plan of God's good pleasure. Now you see, the hysterion is used, therefore, of two things. One is the mystery of the Trinity, that is the excessive reality of the Trinity, which makes our minds incapable of grasping it, though God can reveal it to us, and by the action of the Holy Spirit, give us words to articulate the biblical teaching, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and work on, person and nature and all those things to help us say something about the mystery of the Trinity. But the other use of the word, you see, is the mystery of Christ, that is, the mystery of His will, of God's will, the giving His beloved Son and His Holy Spirit for the salvation of all the world. And that's taken from Ephesians 1:8. Now, the Catechism on that number, 1066, goes on to say, such is the mystery of Christ, revealed and fulfilled in history according to the wisely ordered plan that St. Paul calls the plan of the mystery. Now, that, had it marked and left my place. It's in Ephesians, first chapter. Maybe this is it. There we go. Ephesians 1:9, the text is saying, you see, we have this redemption, I'm in 7, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, which is an allusion to the Shema, which He had abounding in us in all wisdom and prudence. And now, verse 9, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He set forth in Him in Christ, unto the working out the economia of the fullness of time, to anekephaleo sese, to put under one head everything, you see, that's in the heavens and in the earth, in Avto, in Him. So, mystery has two. The mystery is the excessive reality of God, which is too much for our minds. But He tells us about it. He shows us how He acts in history. But to be able to rise to that whole thing, that's more than we can do. All right. But the next 1067, the wonderful works of God among the people of the Old Testament were but a prelude to the work of Christ the Lord in redeeming mankind and giving perfect glory to God. The wonderful works of God. Now that's the way most of the time the New Testament speaks about mysterion. It means the plan of God revealed. The working out of that plan in history, in our dimension. And that's the mystery. And so the text goes on. For this reason, the Church celebrates in the liturgy above all the Paschal mystery, by which Christ accomplished the work of our salvation. I'm quoting again from the Catechism. 1068, the next number. It is this mystery of Christ that the Church proclaims and celebrates in her liturgy, so that the faithful may live from it and bear witness to it in the whole world. And then they're going to quote the document on the liturgy. For it is in the liturgy, especially in the divine sacrifice of the Eucharist, that the work of our redemption is accomplished. That's a phrase from another part. And it's through the liturgy, especially, that the faithful are enabled to express in their lives and manifest to others the mystery of Christ and the true and real nature of the Church. And that's from Sacrosanctum, Concilium number 2. And as we move on, we'll spend more time on that. In other words, we're talking about God's act in history. One of the earliest people in our generation was George Ernest Wright. He wrote a small book called God Who Acts. It was kind of a rebellion against this pseudo-philosophical approach of many German pseudo-exegetes. No, it's history. It's God's work in history. And penetrating and understanding that, that's understanding the mystery. And we'll be coming back to that. But, you see, this is now 1067. You see, the wonderful works of God among the people of the Old Testament were but a prelude to the work of Christ the Lord in redeeming mankind and giving perfect glory to God. He accomplished this work principally by the Paschal mystery of His blessed passion, resurrection from the dead, and a glorious ascension into heaven, whereby dying He destroyed our death, and rising He restored our life. For it was from the side of Christ, as He slept the sleep of death upon the cross, that there came forth the wondrous sacrament of the whole Church. And that's another, as many of these will be, you see, that also is from Sacrosanctum Concilium, which is dependent upon St. Augustine. In other words, what we're going to try to do is allow this liturgy to bring us into living touch with the Lord Jesus Christ, forever modified in His humanity by what He did, said, and suffered, and rose. And so the liturgy is a work of Christ, bringing us in touch with the various mysteries, in that sense, events of His life. Now, the first one in chronological order would be this presentation. And we'll start to look at that after this initial sort of reflection. The word liturgy, as you know, means it comes from Laos and Aragon, a popular people's work. For in the liturgy, and this is very important, especially in the divine sacrifice of the Eucharist, that the work of our redemption is accomplished. It's in the liturgy that the work of our redemption is accomplished in our midst. And it is through the liturgy especially that the faithful are enabled to express in their lives and manifest to others the mystery of Christ and the real nature of the true church. It has to be expressed in history to be understood. And that's the liturgy, the people's work. And that's where the real true nature of the church. Now, just some background from the Catechism, 1070. In the New Testament, the word liturgos or liturgia refers not only to the celebration of divine worship, but also to the proclamation of the gospel and to active charity. So you see, it's a big... And for that, footnote, it's 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8 references. In other words, the public work of the church is worshiping God in Christ, but also manifest to others through love, through service, through consolation, through truth, through friendship. All of that, in a sense, is liturgical. The word, as you know, and now I'm going to go to number 1070. In the New Testament, the word liturgy refers not only to the celebration of divine worship, but also to the proclamation of the gospel and to active charity. There's a whole list of texts for that. In a liturgical celebration, the church is servant in the image of her Lord, the one liturgos. And he's called liturgos in Hebrews 8. The performer of the liturgy. She shares in Christ's priesthood, which is both prophetic, he proclaims, and kingly, service of charity. The liturgy, then, is rightly seen as an exercise of the priestly office of Christ. And the Eucharistic liturgy is the source and summit of the Church's life. Now, it's so important that those of us who lead the celebration have got to be praying for a living experience of what it is we're doing that can be manifested by the way we act, by the way we pray, by the way we speak, that we are at this moment, you know, brought into this center. Now, that goes on in 1070 to see. Well, let's do 1071 as well. Liturgy is an action of his church. Okay, and then liturgy does not exhaust the entire activity of the church. It must be preceded by evangelization, faith, and conversion. And so this people's work covers the activity of the church, but it's concentrated and gets its full reality and energy from the Eucharistic liturgy.